It's time for the weekly segment with the college football professor here at BunnSports.com. I'm Jacob Bunn, and I'd like to bring in the college football professor now. And, Professor, we have now completed a week of football, and I know it was interesting to you. I found a lot of things highly entertaining last week. How about you?
I think it was very entertaining, and we saw some things that gave us indications, and then there were other things that we'd have to wait and see. But it was very entertaining, and I thought the big thing was these four lower-level teams defeating teams handily in the upper level. So that was quite a telling thing.
Well, let's talk about that. Why do you think there were a few upsets? We're talking about FCS teams beating FBS teams. Why do you think that's happening more and more?
I think the fact that there are more good football players, and these teams get good players and they keep them and develop a team, whereas some of the other schools are not getting that much better football players, and then they have a lot more coming and going, so therefore they don't have as good a team. And I think that's the reason. It's kind of like college football is really getting closer to the NFL in the skills and abilities of players. I mean, when you think about the fact that, some 260 players are going to be brand-new players in the NFL this year. That's right out of college. So 260 that made NFL teams. And I think that's the same thing true, that there's just more players that are going to these schools.
We're talking about Eastern Washington beating Oregon State and North Dakota State beating Kansas State, among others that happened. McNeese State slammed USF, and it was just quite a wild and wacky day. Well, let's talk about one or two games from last week. I want to get your take on just a couple of issues that took place. One is the Clemson Tigers. They were able to host the number 5 Georgia Bulldogs, a highly touted SEC team. A lot of people thought they would win the East. Well, they now lost the opening weekend game against Clemson. Where is this Clemson program now on the national scene? Is it ready to go to a national championship game, or is that way too premature?
It's probably premature, but I think they're very close. They have a really dynamic offense. Now, how are they going to fare when they come up against a team that's got a really good defense and also has a good offense? We don't know that. We'll have to wait and see. But they're very good. They got very good skill players. They got good talent throughout their roster. And I think Georgia, we were wondering about Georgia's defense anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that's the story. It might have been Georgia's defense wasn't ready for a high-powered offense like Clemson.
Well, you don't have to look at this weekend's lineup very long to know that we'll probably be mentioning Georgia a little bit later on in the program, so we'll save that. But how about Alabama? They struggled, according to a lot of people, on the offensive line Saturday against Virginia Tech. They won 35-10 with no problem whatsoever. What did you take away from the Tide's performance?
Well, I think they did struggle. I think they failed to be able to get into a rhythm. But if you remember, Jacob, that I said last week on our show that Alabama would be facing the best defense they would face all year against Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. And then I think if you add into that the fact that on the second the first time they touched the ball, they scored a touchdown. And on three different occasions, Alabama scored without their offense getting the ball. So if you were to have taken those possessions and put it into the play, then they would have probably may have even doubled the offensive output they had.
So you're saying there's no concern for them,
them from getting into any rhythm of any kind.
All right. No concern, though. You're not worried about that offensive line being a detriment to Alabama's chances to three-peat.
I think I was more concerned about the passing offense.
Okay.
And I think it's going to have to get a lot better timing in it than they had in that game. I was a little concerned that the timing I saw in the passing game for Alabama.
Well, let's move along to this week, and we have a few interesting matchups, and we'll start with one that's in the morning. Should be the first game that of note that's on, and that is Florida at Miami. It is a Sunshine State rivalry that has not been played very often in the last few years, but used to be an annual occurrence. Well, Florida is ranked in the top 10. Miami is not ranked, but a lot of people think they are on the ascension. How do you feel about this game?
I think Florida will win the game. However, this is interesting. Florida is playing at Miami. And, of course, there might be as many Florida fans in the stadium as there are Miami fans. But that'll be a little bit of a change for them. And I think Miami has some good football players, but I believe Florida will win the game. I'm not going to say it's going to be a cakewalk, but I think they'll win the game.
Other games of interest that I'd like to discuss with a college football professor. Do you think Ohio State will struggle at all with San Diego State? That's one that just keeps jumping off the page to me. I didn't like the way Ohio State played Saturday against the lowly likes of Buffalo.
Well, if you would have had you asked me this a week ago, I would have said, I think Ohio State's going to have a really difficult time with San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I was ready to say if the game were played at San Diego State and not in the Horseshoe, that San Diego State might win the game. But then San Diego State was one of those teams that got beat by one of the lower division teams. Now, whether that's totally that they were preparing for Ohio State and wasn't ready for the game and not, you got to be good to be able to just pass by teams. I don't care what division they play in. But the fact that they got beat by Eastern Illinois, that concerns me.
Oregon travels to Virginia, and we saw Oregon dismantle Nicholls State. But as I wrote in my recap of the weekend, that basically means Oregon hasn't started its season yet. It basically starts this week at Virginia. Now, this is an interesting game. I think Virginia is a mystery to a lot of people, how competitive they will be in the ACC this year. So my question to you is this a danger game for Oregon or no problem?
I say no problem, but I also would have, the biggest surprise to me last week of teams playing that other than these lower division teams winning was the fact that Virginia beat Brigham Young.
Yeah.
Them beating BYU was a real surprise to me.
I think that's a good point.
So maybe they got a pretty good team, but I can't imagine that they will be able to beat Oregon.
Texas at BYU, you just mentioned the Cougars and how they laid an egg basically last week against Virginia, or maybe just underwhelmed everybody, but this week they host Texas. It's going to be in Utah, so the question is, do they have a chance?
Well, I do think that BYU has a chance, but I think this is kind of going to be the time where Texas begins to say, are they going to be the kind of team that some of us, like myself, think they will be this year, or will this be an indication that they still have not developed that edge that they need? I think this is a huge game for Texas. I mean, a huge game.
Oh, okay.
But I think they'll win the game.
Just so everyone remembers, the college football professor predicted Texas will play in the BCS championship game, so he has great interest in what Texas does this weekend. West Virginia at Oklahoma. This is 6 p.m. on Fox. This is an interesting game to me. I think West Virginia looked very anemic against William and Mary, of all people, Saturday, but you never can tell if that's just opening game sluggishness or if that's a real problem. My question to you is, who do you think wins this game, and what does it say about the Big 12?
I think it is a big game. I think it's got a lot more implication than it might look like, and I'll tell you why. I think this is a real direction game, and what I mean by that is that Oklahoma, a few years ago, they were kind of the dominant team in the Big 12 conference, but they've kind of become almost an also-ran. And West Virginia came into the Big 12, and you know how they started last year, and they were going to make some noise, and they wound up being like a balloon that somebody just let the air out of, and it flew all over the place like their offense, but it fizzled out. So the reason I say this is a direction game, this might be where Oklahoma makes a statement that we're going to be again the team that we've here in the Big 12. And also, it could mean that West Virginia then finds out that they're over their head in the Big 12.
Notre Dame plays at Michigan. This is the College Game Day game, 7 o'clock Saturday night on ESPN. And Brian Kelly doesn't believe that this annual contest is a relevant rivalry anymore, but I don't see why anybody would really pay any attention to what Brian Kelly has to say at this point, especially about that. So my question to you is, who wins this game, and how does that affect each Michigan and Notre Dame's seasons?
Well, I think the kind of season they're going to have, this might be the one that determines whether they have a successful season or not. Now, you say that's early in the year for that to happen. But the reason I say that is that they don't have, you know, this would be a time when they begin to establish whether they're going to have a good season or a mediocre season. And the loser of this might just move into to a kind of a mediocrity. But you know, I think about Notre Dame's defense. I call it a kind of a pinching defense. They play. They don't play that. I mean, they play good defense all over the field. But when you come down to the red zone, they funnel you in. That's where they usually stop you. So teams usually kick a lot of field goals against them. That is, except Alabama. And do not score very many touchdowns. But they're playing in the big house. Does that matter? And Gardner is more of a quarterback like the coach wants to have there than what he had last year. He's more of a passer. He is athletic and can run, but he's also a very good pocket passer, and that's what he wants. And so I don't know who's going to win. I have a hunch. I just have a hunch that Michigan might win the game.
And to the final game that we will talk about here, and that is number 6, South Carolina, traveling to Athens to play number 11, Georgia. Now, we know Georgia came up short 38-35 against Clemson. South Carolina had no issues whatsoever with North Carolina. They won that one 27-10 on Thursday night. By virtue of that game, South Carolina has had 2 extra days to prepare. So here we have the old ball coach, and I think the best, perhaps, defense in the SEC right now in South Carolina, going against Aaron Murray and Georgia, a team that has its back against the wall and needs a big win. Mark Richt, I think, needs this win badly. So my question to you, how's it going to go?
Well, Jacob, you just said something very, very important when you said they had maybe the best defense right now in the Southeastern Conference. You know, I think people are lost in the fact, you know, they talk about is Clowney, mm-hmm. Clowney,
right.
Clowney. South Carolina defense has a lot more than Clowney. He's just one part of
absolutely.
That. And also, he helps make that defense. It's not how many tackles he makes. It's the attention he gets, which frees up others. So it's a team thing. And so I think their defense is very good. And I also think you pointed out another thing, the old ball coach. This is very important in that Steve Spurrier is going to be standing on the sidelines with running an offense that has a lot of capability.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Georgia, as you well know, has great running backs, and they have a great quarterback. Now, the loss of Mitchell, mm-hmm. how big a thing do you think that is?
That's going to be big.
Jacob?
It's going to be big.
And that can mean a lot. That can mean a lot in their total package. But Georgia doesn't have anywhere near the defense that South Carolina has. And so I just kind of have a feeling that South Carolina will win this game.
Yeah, I was really underwhelmed with Georgia's defense, especially their pass rush. We hear about Todd Grantham and Georgia's elite defensive ends all the time, and they do have elite talent there, but where's the play? I mean, Saturday night, watching that game against Clemson, and as thrilling as it was to see Taj Boyd and Sammy Watkins go up and down the field, it was the other side of that was Georgia looked horrendous on defense. They got no pressure. The pocket never collapsed. Boyd was basically able to make the throws and the runs that he needed to make, and it was just very odd if you're a Georgia fan. Now, maybe it'll look totally different this week. I don't know, but I think you make a good point about Georgia's defense, and I lean towards South Carolina as well. I think you're on the right track. Well, a great segment, as always, Professor, as we get ready for week 2 of the college football season, and we'll have you on next week, and I think there's a game that will be played in College Station that a few people might be paying attention to.
All right. Sounds great. We're looking forward to another week of college football.
We'll be back with you later in the week on BunSports.com with all of the news and information. I'm Jacob Bunn for the College Football Professor. We will see you next time.